Been a couple of weeks. The review
Um,
is going to be short. Why don't we first pray? Brian, will you pray for us?
well, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the word that you have for us, Lord. I just ask that we have our ears open to it, Lord. We just thank you for Dan and the ministry that he brings. I just lift this day up to you now. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brian. 2 weeks ago, when we were talking, about, we have the healer within us, and our focus needs to be on the healer, not so much seeking the healing, what we need. And so a few of the review things was, if you're born again, you haven't received healing, you've received the healer. So that's what we receive when we're born again. And healing is not a one-time experience. It's a part of living with the healer. He says, abide with me, like he's the vine, or right? Remember that whole thing, abide in me and all the blessings will come to you. That's what this is talking about. Abide in the healer. If we're constantly feeling the need for a touch of an experience and focused on doing, we'll be back on that faith merry-go-round. And it's going to turn into works. Like, I have to do this to receive my healing. And then you don't receive your healing. And then you feel condemned about it. And then you're trying to do everything in your own works. You need to rest in the finished works of Jesus. And just know that the healer lives within you. And faith is able to bring the unseen into the seen. So it's relying on Jesus, the healer that's in us. We have Jesus the healer. We need to meet and know the healer who lives inside of us. Get to know Jesus for who he is, not for what he can do for you. So the relationship, I've been preaching this forever. It's relationship with Jesus is more important than anything else. It's more important than our ministries. It's more important than our families. Those are all important things, but the relationship with Jesus, prioritize that. Healing is a byproduct of relationship with the healer. I mean, I just said it bad, but it said it better in my own words. It becomes effortless and when you have relationship with him, and it's not a work of the flesh. Works of the flesh gets difficult, but it becomes effortless when it's all about your relationship with him, and it's our own individual relationship. I can't rely on Casey's relationship with him. I have to rely on my own relationship with him. Okay, that's all I'm going to reveal, because we'll touch on some of this stuff. And I know some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today was in the songs we sang, coincidentally. And Micah, thanks for covering last week. Okay. This one's on the rights of redemption. We have rights, as Americans, we have rights. We have the amendments, right? And we have the Bill of Rights and our constitutional rights, and right, we have the freedom of speech. That is a right given to us as American citizens. We have the right to bear arms as American citizens. We got a hoorah on that. Yeah. Okay, so we understand what rights are. Okay. Okay, we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. So we can't earn healing, just like we can't do anything to earn our salvation. We cannot do anything to earn our healing. It is a legal right. It's already paid for by Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. Now we can enjoy the benefits, the legal rights of what Jesus had accomplished for us, right? So Jesus did it already, and we get to enjoy those rights. We today get to enjoy the rights of what the Patriots fought for in the Revolutionary War, right? So now we're here enjoying the rights of what Jesus did for us. This is huge because God isn't up in heaven deciding who deserves to be healed or not. It's not based on any prayer chains by having enough people praying enough or trying to move God by our good deeds. Healing has already been paid for. It's already been paid for you by the actions of Jesus. God has already decided to heal you. The price for healing has been paid in full. So when he knew you from the beginning of time, said, they're going to need some, and I'm going to provide the answer for it already. Just like when he made, you know, when he created the earth, when he created everything, he created the sun, and they gave light and moon, stars, and then he provided land and water, and then he provided all the animals and the plants for food. He made man last. That way, everything you need is already here. It wasn't like I made man, you know what? They need that too. Let me add that. No, man came last and he provided everything first. And that's what he's doing for us now. He's already provided the healing that we need already before we're even here. So it's just like that. Our position as a redeemed child of God means that healing is our legal right, just like salvation is. You know, I've gone on and on about this. We don't question our salvation. We believe in our salvation. Why it's a legal right as becoming a born-again believer, redeemed by Christ? Well, healing is too. Healing is our legal right. When we know our rights, we will stand up for our rights. Okay. Isaiah 53:5, we've touched on this over and over, but says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is clearly talking about physical healing. Hundreds of years before Christ's birth, Isaiah was prophesying about his birth and death and resurrection, explaining what Jesus was going to pay for us in the future. And then 1 Peter 2:24, he quotes him and he says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, speaking of Jesus, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. Past tense, looking back at the cross instead of forward, like Isaiah. This is almost the same exact terminology, but it's looking back to the cross in the past. We're not Old Testament believers. We have a better covenant based on better promises. That's Hebrews 8:6. It tells us we have a better covenant now with better promises. At the cross, we were healed. So this should change the way we pray. Everybody listen to this. Once we understand that healing is a redemptive work of Jesus at the cross, once we get that and understand it and know it in our hearts, we no longer pray like we're asking God to come down and do something he hasn't done already. We understand that God has already done something. We aren't asking for a touch from God in the realm of healing. We pray from the understanding that he's already provided healing for us through Jesus on the cross. The debt has been paid. You know, the money's in the account. When we go to the bank, I don't beg the bank, will you please give me some of my money? No, the bank is there. I go to the bank, I go, give me my money. You know, in a nicer way than that. But, you know, I hand them a deposit slip and say, I want it. Give it to me. And they do. And they give it to me. As long as it's in there. Well, Jesus, what he did for us, the healing's there. We have that right to go withdraw from it. You know what I mean? To put it in the banking analogy. So the way we pray about it we need to know that he's already done it, and the way we pray about it needs to change. And this is the key to accessing all of the promises of God, not just healing. We know that Jesus has already paid full price for it. The sentence has already been served. The judgment has already been made. Jesus took the punishment so that we, by grace through faith, can collect the goods. I mean, salvation, we all get that. We just need to get around the other redemptive works that he did for us. The Greek word for healed in 1 Peter 2:24 is iomai, which means to cure, to heal, to make whole. And it's clearly talking about physical healing. And if we don't study the original language of Scripture, we can be misled by people saying, This is talking about spiritual healing. Sin has been dealt with, and you have been spiritually healed as well. But this word is used 28 times in the New Testament, iomai, and is clearly talking about a physical healing, all 28 times. Teaching that healing is not part of the atonement or that God doesn't heal anymore is experiential. That's like people's experience. So my experience was I didn't get healed, so he doesn't heal anymore. But that's not biblical, you know, but that's a, it's a wrong train of thought, you know. And as we've been going through this, and there's plenty of reasons that Satan tries to use us to stop us from keeping us in bondage, right? He wants to keep us there and not move forward, whether it be through fear or unforgiveness or doubt or just being misled into thinking wrong about it. You know, there's plenty of things, tactics that he uses. But if healing isn't relevant today, that would mean salvation isn't relevant today. So, you know, think about that. I don't think we think like that. Others do, about healing isn't for today. They, I don't know, they had a word. They had a name, and I tried to remember it. But cessationist. Cessationist, because they think that these things cease. With those people, but if healing isn't for, it was for then back then, but not for today, then I guess that makes them cessationists. Okay, so we don't back off of forgiveness of sin just because people still sin today. In the same way, we shouldn't be backing off of healing just because sometimes we get symptoms in our bodies or pray for someone and it's not always working out the way we want it to go, right? So we need to think about healing just the way, same way we think about sin. You know, hey, I just sinned. I did this. It wasn't right, but I know he's forgiven me. And I'm just going to, you know, and I know I'm righteous still, and I'm just going to keep going on. And when healing and symptoms come up, I'm going to rebuke it, and I'm just going to keep moving on. I'm not going to dwell in that bondage anymore. And healing is our right, whether we choose it or not. Just like salvation is always available for us, whether we receive it or not, healing is also always available for us. All of God's promises are always yes and amen. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20, if you guys want to look at that verse. So on Easter at our house, we had communion, right? And I mentioned some of these things here, but let's remind ourselves about communion. What is, you guys remember from Easter, what is the power of communion? What is the power? What
we are remembering what Jesus did for us.
The remembrance is the key to communion. That's what we're doing. We're remembering what Jesus did. The power of communion is not in the element, not the bread, not the cracker, not the wine, juice, etc. The power comes from remembering when we use them. We use those little things to remember. And that's what brings the power. The purpose of communion is to have you remember the redemptive work of Jesus and what he paid for you on the cross. So let's talk about it. What did he pay for us at the cross?
Our healing.
Healing. What else?
Salvation.
I mean,
paid for our prosperity.
Prosperity.
Mind, the peace in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is one.
We receive his peace. We receive his spirit. I mean, there's all of those things are things that we could always be remembering of what he accomplished through that action of death, burial, and resurrection. So it's the remembering of that. We're putting our faith in Jesus, not in the elements. Right? It's not this cracker that heals me. It's Jesus' body. That's what heals me. However, those things, they serve as a point of contact to receiving our healing. So communion is a good thing as we, you know, drink of this cup, eat of this bread, you know, because it's the it forces us, it doesn't force us, but you know, it directs us and back into remembering. and putting Jesus at the forefront of our thoughts about what he did for us. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after he had had supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So proclaim the Lord's death. What, when you do that, what do you, what does proclaim the Lord's death mean?
Remembering what he did.
Remembering what he did. You're saying it out loud too, and you're, you know, you're everything we just got done talking about. Drink and eat in remembrance of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets us free from sin. That's in Ephesians 1:7. But his broken body is just as important. 1 Corinthians 11:28 through 30. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's he doing when, what's the guy that drinks, eats or drinks unworthily? He's not remembering. He's not remembering that Jesus did all this for him. You know, back in the old day, they, you know, Jacob, where he fought the angel, right? What did he do? He made a monument to it, or was it the Jacob's well? I don't remember what it was, but like that's what they would do. Anytime they had an experience with the Lord, they would build an altar or a monument, say, right here is where this happened. And that's what we're doing in our hearts as well. For this reason, many are weak and unhealthy among you, and many die. This is specifically saying that one of the reasons that people are sick, weak, or dying is because they're not remembering the redemptive work of Jesus that he was going to complete at the cross. He was saying to remember his body because it would be strength and healing. You know, he doesn't need your fanfare. Yay, Jesus, you did it. He's telling you, remember me because this is going to bring you something. So when we drink, we are remembering and thanking Jesus that through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. But when we eat, we are remembering and thanking Jesus that he paid for our bodies to receive healing. We don't have to be sick or weak or even die prematurely because Jesus' body already paid the price for our healing. There's nothing magical about the elements themselves. They are simply a point of remembrance. Okay, so now listen to this part. Communion should be a time of celebration. One reason communion tends to be such a somber moment is because what we're remembering is how brutal it was, how he actually died. The crucifixion was so brutal and what he went through. So it's really somber. However, this is a time for celebration because Jesus is no longer on the cross. He went through the pain of crucifixion so that we don't have to. You know, that should be us up there with all of our sins. We should be punished for what we've done. But we don't have to because Jesus did it. And he's alive and we get to live in his redemptive work. Put more focus on the end result, the resurrection power, even then on the sacrifice itself. You know, maybe we should be toasting or something.
That's good.
You know what I mean? When we take communion, because like it's already over. We're not remembering, oh man, he really went through it for us. No, like we should be, he did it. He did it for us and we get to reap the benefits. As long as we remember him, we're doing it right. Communion is a living reminder for us today of the sacrifice of Jesus and the freedom we now enjoy because of his resurrection. We have resurrection power on the inside of us. Back to my first analogy, right? On 4th of July, we don't like sit there and just be somber because of all the patriots that died in the war against England, right? No, we set up fireworks, there's revelry, you know, there's all of those things, you know what I mean? So that, I think this is a pretty good example of like, hey, you know, it's already done. We're living in the freedoms of it now. Let's celebrate it. Let's celebrate what he did for us more than just being somber about it. Okay, now let's talk about the Passover. I've talked about that before when we've taken communion. But you know how in the Old Testament, the events are called types and shadows because they are prophetic pictures of things to come in the future. The final plague of Egypt was the angel of death to kill the firstborn of every household. In order to save the children of Israel from this plague, they had to take part in the Passover meal so that the angel of death would pass over their households. In Exodus 12, says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses in which they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted with fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that of which remains until the morning you shall burn with fire. In this way you shall eat it, with your waist girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In the Old Covenant, there's always had to be the shedding of blood to atone for the sins of the people. When the sacrifice was brought to the priest would inspect the animal for perfection, not the person bringing the sacrifice. It was apparent they were sinners, but the sacrifice needed to be perfect to atone for their sin. And notice in verse 11, it instructs the people to be dressed, to be prepared to leave. So when you take communion, be ready to receive.
That's good.
I don't know if we've thought about that before. You know, be ready to receive when we remember. We will next time. And if I forget, you better remind me.
No.
Jesus is called the Lamb of God. He is our Passover lamb, so we no longer need to make animal sacrifices. The Passover, putting faith in the lamb, changed Pharaoh's heart and was the final step in their freedom from hundreds of years of slavery and oppression. Psalm 105, verse 36 to 37. He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, he being God, their land being Egypt. The first of all their strength, he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there were none feeble among his God's tribes. So says that there were 600,000 men in that. So that means there's probably at least 1.2 million with women and children. I know there's had to be more than that. There's always more women and children. But back then, they only counted the men. So it's over 1.2 million. And to put that into perspective, I looked it up. Sacramento County, from Elk Grove to Folsom, up and around to Citrus Heights, back and around. That's Sacramento County. That has 1.6 million people living in it. So I tried to find something that we could relate that to. That amount of people all around the Sacramento metro area leaving an area, okay, feeble, it was talking about feeble, and there was none feeble among his tribes. So that many people leaving, and none were feeble at all. And they were slaves. They were making bricks all day long and carrying, doing slave work.
Eating vegetables. They basically had nothing nutritional.
They had nothing nutritional until they had that lamb that they had eaten the whole thing. Yeah. So feeble was talking about weak or sick. After the Passover, there were no sick people among them at all. There were at least 1 million people there and not one sick, weak, or unhealthy. I mean, that's a miracle that doesn't get talked about enough was, you know, they ate the lamb and they were and be ready to go. And then none of them were sick or feeble. They moved. All, I mean, they were chasing down chariots. What about, you know, the Grammys of the world?
Yeah.
You don't move too fast, do you? So if you had Egyptians chasing you, you eat this lamb, you're as quick as the young people. I'd be right there with you. I'm not that quick anymore either. When we put faith in the blood of the Lamb, the redemptive work of Christ, we enter into that finished work. Sickness and disease has been dealt with. They have no place in the redemptive work of Jesus. This is a side issue, but they weren't poor either. They came out with silver and gold and possessions the Egyptians had to hand it over to them. We do not need to beg God. Forgiveness of sin, salvation, healing, and physical prosperity were all part of the redemptive work of Jesus at the cross. There was the question. That's the answer to the question I gave you guys earlier. We don't have to beg God for any of those things. They have already been done for us. We can walk out like the Hebrews did, heads held high, saying, "My God has delivered me, and this is my right." We aren't trying to convince God to do anything today. We are accessing our redemptive legal right to walk in healing. Colossians 2, 13 through 15 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus took the charges against you and nailed them to the cross. That sentence included sickness, poverty, and bondage to sin. The blood on the doorpost was a symbol of Jesus' blood being applied to the cross for you. He disarmed the devil and made a spectacle of him. Jesus cut off the root of sin with his blood, but he cut off the fruit of sin, which is sickness, with his body. Both his blood and his body paid for something. Forgiveness of sin through his blood and healing through his body. The healing power of God belongs to you, just like salvation does. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Sickness is a curse. It's never a blessing. Check Deuteronomy 28. Tells you all the curses and blessings. Okay, sickness is always a curse. We access what Jesus has done for us in the realm of healing by faith in Jesus. Read that again. I don't want to skip over that line. We access what Jesus has done for us in the realm of healing by faith in Jesus and what Jesus did, the finished work of him. I don't have to do anything. He did it all. There is no action, even taking communion, that can receive healing. We are using our faith by remembering the blood and the body of Jesus. Remember the big question a couple weeks ago, how do we access God's promises?
Faith,
right? Nate kept getting that one. He probably forgot it, but he knew it a lot back then. We are using our faith by remembering the blood and the body of Jesus. Numbers 21, 7 through 9. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who's bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. This is a picture of Jesus. Jesus defeated the serpent. He paid the price for the original sin in the garden. God had Moses paint a picture of the future. There was coming a time when God would send a Savior who would hang on a cross, and whoever looks on Jesus and puts their faith in him shall be saved and healed. John 3, 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We are saved and healed by putting our faith in the risen Savior. Healing has everything to do with what Jesus has done and nothing to do with what you have done. That is today's lesson. Questions, comments, discussion?
I was going to say on the communion side of things, you know, back then they didn't have scripture to just read every time they got together to encourage. So communion was something they did all the time as kind of their way of encouraging the body, right? Unless you had a letter from Paul, like they got to, you know, look at. They could look at Old Testament scripture and see like the prophecies, but they had nothing about Jesus to like, all right, we're going to read here about what Jesus did. They took communion in order to remember it, in order to draw encouragement from it. And like that was their way of doing what we're doing.
Yeah, they couldn't just open up Paul's writings and.
Yeah. Unless they had a letter already from him, they could look back at it. It was like this was their way of, you know, getting together every week and encouraging each other and looking at it. So, in the sense of looking at it as a positive thing, like this was literally the only thing they had back then.
And Danny, when you read that, you likened it to, what was I going to say? You likened it to being expecting after we took what? What did you? Where did that?
In their instruction, it was you know, be ready to leave.
Sleep.
Be,
oh, okay. So there.
Yeah,
that
said
you
like
we
This was Exodus 12, verse 11. In this way shall you eat it, with your waist girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So even though they were going to be eating, it's like, be ready to go. And that's the way we should be taking communion too. Because if Jesus is our Passover, when we take communion, we remember him, we should be ready to receive the healing that he has for us by remembering him.
That could be in a lot of different ways too. Feeling it could be spiritual or mental or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he delivered us not just from physical healing, but, you know, the works, he came to destroy the works of Satan. The devil, he puts anxiousness, nervousness, depression on us, you know, it's all a mind, you know, all the mind things that he does to us that's not from God. He came to destroy all of those things. So when we remember him and we abide in him, it's like, expect to receive, you know, just, I hope you will, you know, no, I've done it already. Just tap into it. Come take a withdrawal. You know, it's not a one-time thing, you know, because guess what? You're going to take two more steps and Satan's going to throw another trap in front of you. You know, when we talked about offense, it was like, there will be offenses. He's going to keep laying them out there for you. If you sidestep one, it's not like you're They're going through a minefield. There's a bunch of them out there. You have to gotta use what he's given us to be able to get through it with his peace. He's given us these tools for that. So, anything else?
I was just gonna say, when the Bible talks about like waiting on the Lord, that example of where the Israelites are supposed to be is like an example of that, like ready, anxiously waiting, ready to go as soon as the Lord's ready to move, you're ready for it. It's not just like sitting back passively. It's like you're prepared, you're ready to go, you got your shoes on, you got your belt strapped, you're ready, anxiously waiting for the Lord to move so that you can move too. So it's like an active forward moving, waiting, I believe.
We talked in Sunday school about having a willing heart. When God calls you, just like you have to have a willing heart. So it's kind of the same thing.
Jesus said, "Follow me," and those guys were willing, and they acted on it. Think about creation. Was talks the when it says the Spirit was hovering over the waters. What was he doing? He was waiting for God's word. You say the word, God, we're going to do it. He's hovering over the waters. He let there be light. Boom, there was light. The Spirit was ready to act on what God had said.
So maybe we should do communion again pretty soon. So
Yeah.
we could try all these things, right? And to have that mindset, and even like you said, of celebration instead of doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Because Jesus
It'd be
said, do
powerful.
this. He said, do it.
It's a command.
He didn't say do it once a year. He said, do it. And remember, it's a meeting.
Well, I mean, it's where it's going to be our heart and remembering, and and I think we're getting the right my frame of mind to do it in the way that he wants us to do
Yeah.
it.
And
Yep.
I want to say, I mean, just want to say this, but healing is real. It's in the word, it's a promise. So we know it's real. There's a lot of things that come against healing. Sometimes it's our unbelief. Sometimes it's we don't feel worthy. There's all these things. And when you have something like my retina disease, I've had for more than 10 years or something. But when you have something like that and you're going through so many, I actually, to be honest, for I don't know how many years, I didn't have any clue that I could be healed from it. Probably only the last couple of years. And then you start studying it and you start realizing, oh, I've been trying to do this on my own or whatever it is, right? But the more you look, the more you study it, the more you pray about it and all that, the Lord shows you how to just relax and receive it. You're saying that as if that's an easy thing. And for some people it is. And for some things are instantaneous. Mine hasn't been instantaneous, but I see progress. When I started believing that it could happen, I see progress. I've had good progress. So I'm just trying to say, because I would think as we're listening to this, I'm in. I'm all in about healing. You are too, because you've experienced it. But there's people in this room like just, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or whatever. But if you, and the way you really actually know is when you have to, when you're dealing with it, when you're facing
Yeah.
it. But I have other things. I've had headaches where I've said, no, in the name of Jesus, get off me. And it's just calming. The ringing in my ears. There's different things that I can, but I don't want to get shots in my eyes anymore. So it's a good motivation to just keep studying, just keep laying it before the Lord's feet. But I'm just trying to say something realistic for my life, so that people don't just say, I don't know. Everybody's in different places.
Yeah. Just the example that you gave about, there's many things that come against healing. There's many, we're all righteous, but the great accuser who's doing mind warfare tells me, well, you've sinned and I know what you've done and blah, blah, blah.
Why
And
do you
I
think
don't
you?
feel worthy. And why would he want me not to think that I'm righteous when the word tells me I'm righteous? Because now I'm not walking in power. Now I'm not walking in confidence as a Christian. As a child of God, he doesn't want us to be child of God. He wants us to go into that lake of fire with him.
I think one of the biggest helps is actually reading our word, because the word tells us what we are. But if we don't read our word, maybe read it on Sundays, or if we even for myself, if I'm only looking at different things, but not just actually sitting and reading my word. That's where the Lord shows us where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's where the power comes from.
And you're going to be somewhere in some weird book, and then you, and then someone's going to go, and it's like, oh my God.
You'll be in the middle of Habakkuk.
Yeah, exactly. Could be Habakkuk.
There's also too, like, we there's different levels of sickness, right? We have physical sickness, we have mental sickness, spiritual sickness, and sometimes, like, the enemy wants to use a physical sickness to get your mind in the wrong spot and get you mentally. And the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's a heart level sickness that you can't have. So it may also be that the beginning of your healing comes from a mental sickness being healed, to then put you in a better spot for, you know what I mean? There's different levels of that too. So that's the other side of also looking at, like, okay, well, my physical illness hasn't, happened yet. And you're kind of figuring things, well, there's a good chance your mind's in a completely different spot, and you're like a billion times better than where you even, were mentally, or where you felt like in your heart with things. So there's that aspect of things too. That
when my legs weren't working, depression came first. Like, what is hope? Or not hope, but like despair, and these type of things were attacking me, because, like, what is my life becoming? I'm too young for this, and I shouldn't have this, and what is this, how bad is this going to get? I was thinking all the worst things, which really just made me weak in my mind, and it had to kind of start shutting down the lies, hearing God's promises, and then believing and having faith in those promises. And then, but that's, he used a physical element to mess with me in here. And, I've overcome both now. So that's what he'll do. I mean, there's a testimony of what you just said.
Then there's growth anyway. Then there's growth in us, because we start seeing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm growing a lot farther since I started that whole thing. Well, he has nothing but good things for us. Let's put our faith in him.
That's a lot about what this whole Philippians thing has been about too. It's like, if you can be content, and you can be good in here, it doesn't matter what is going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you have that peace. It's the, I'm gonna get to a part, but it talks about God's peace that transcends all understanding. You just, like, that doesn't, like, so many things are coming against you in the world for whatever reason, and you're just like, I just don't know why, but I just, as terrible as they are, just, I have God's peace about things, and there's no explaining it. But it's about being, and that's what our word, that's what the word does for us. If we can have some, it is written, have the scripture rested on our heart, we can be good in here and out there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Regardless, and no matter, I mean, things are always going to be tough, right? Always going to do those things. But
Paul had, I think it was in Acts, saying that, Acts 20 something, saying that, like, there's always going to be a spirit of against Paul, and there's always going to be the persecution and all this against him. And in Philippians, he's saying, I'm good with it. The God told him that, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, I just need you to keep suffering. It's not that. It's like, whatever comes against you, what I have given you will overcome all of that.
Are you talking about the thorn in his mind?
The thorn in his side, yeah.
In his mind. He said it was a thorn in his mind, and he had Scott remove it.
In Acts, we'll find it. We'll talk about it. But, there's always going to be a spirit against him, and I'll find these scriptures too. And God told him that my grace is sufficient. It wasn't saying, like, you're good, I just need you to keep getting whipped and shipwrecked and bitten by snakes and all this. It's like, no, if you get bitten by a snake, my power inside of you is going to, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
If you get whipped, my healing is the grace I've given you through healing. How did he get stoned and then the next day walk, like, 20 miles to the next town or whatever? Like, he was left for dead, and he just got it. I mean, he was healed, miraculously healed. We'll talk about it, but
maybe even raised him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so
those beatings too, with bars and
And then so in Philippians, what we're studying now on Wednesdays is he's in that place where, I'm sure it didn't come overnight, but he's totally like I'm in the right mind. I'm happy because, you know, if I die, I get to be with Jesus. If I live, I get to keep preaching the word to all of you. And that's just going to be good for your sake because the grace he's given me, I'm giving to you. So,
So the Philippians is the proof. His letter to the Philippians is the proof that he's achieved that.
yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's why he was like, you know, what happened to me really served to spread the gospel. Like, that's where his mind was at. Like, no matter what, all these things that came against me, even his mindset was like, that was for the benefit of Jesus.
What's his last letter? Does anybody know?
The very last letter he wrote,
Oh, is that the second
Second Timothy
Timothy?
was the last one that he
Yeah.
wrote before he died.
But God's grace includes healing, you know, and we don't have to worry about the circumstances because we have everything we need to overcome. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll wrap it up.
Needs any prayers or needs or anything?
Manny?
Yeah,
Okay.
please.
Okay.
Anything else?
David.
Any prayers up there, guys? Anybody need prayer?
Avery. All right, let's pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and what you did for us. Thank you for showing us the truth in your word, Lord, and the promises that you've given us. We pray that we always remember you, Lord. When things come against us, all we need to do is abide in you and remember you. And what you've given us is way more than what the enemy can do to us. We thank you for one another. We thank you for your instructions to serve one another, Lord. And that's what we're here to do. We'll do it until we're all together with you. We lift up Manny, Lord, and what's come against him and where Satan could be attacking him, Lord, and we know it doesn't come from you. We ask that peace be upon him, Lord, and your peace, the one that just surpasses all understanding. We pray that all the good things that you have for him, Lord, starts to manifest. We lift up Avery and that sickness that she has, and we rebuke it. And we're all in agreement that it will leave her body and it'll leave it right now. And we just ask that you bless the rest of our day, our week, until we're all gathered together to share your word. And in your name, amen.